Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
All right. I want to introduce the theme for this message today. How many of you have seen the movie God's Not Dead? Raise your hands. Oh, if you have not seen the movie God's Not Dead, I encourage you to go to the video store and rent it. It's a great movie. It's done really well. But I'm going to be a spoiler because I'm going to tell you a little bit about it so that you'll understand the service today. The service is about a young man, or the movie is about a young man who is going to college, and this is his freshman year. And when he goes, steps into college, he goes to this class, and he's introduced to a teacher who is very anti-Christian. And the teacher actually hands out a petition to all of his students, and he encourages all of his students to sign a petition that says, God is dead. This young man who is in this class is now conflicted, and he's got this decision that he has to make. Does he sit there and sign the piece of paper, sit in the back row and say, well, I don't really agree with it, but I don't want to cause any rift in the class. I don't want to have any drama. I'm a freshman. I'm new. I don't want any problems already. That's not what he elects to do. He actually elects to do the opposite. He has a story of inspiration and courage, and he stands up to the professor and says, I don't agree, and I will not sign this petition. So the professor says, okay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to have a series of debates with me, and in that series of debates, you have to prove to me and this entire class, through apologetics, why you believe God is not dead. And so the young man takes on this story, and what's so inspirational about it is he risked his academic career because he was there on a scholarship. He had pressure from the other students in the room who kind of booed and jeered him a little bit. And then he also had pressure from his family and loved ones that said, just sign the piece of paper, sit in the back row, and do nothing. But again, he elected to stand up. And through the power and the courage and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he was able to be a light, to carry in the gospel into a dark situation. He carried the gospel into that classroom, and through a series of debates, he actually introduced Christ to the classroom. God is not dead because God is inside us as we are believers, and God is calling for us to go into the school system, go into those dark places, and be a light for him, to communicate the gospel in love, to communicate the gospel with excellence. And that's what you're going to hear about today. We have four of the great, best student pastors I know. And each one of them is armed and loaded with a testimony that they have from their respective ministry. And they're going to share with you accounts of how students have gone into similar situations and what that ministry has done for the student and how they were able to communicate the gospel to friends and family members and people in their circle of influence. So today, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be fully alert. I want you to be so excited. The Bible says that when one of us calls out and gets saved, the entire kingdom of heaven applauds. Angels applaud. It is such a celebration. And that's what I want this room to be like today. So when you hear these testimonies, give high fives. Give a hand clap. Let God know that you're so thankful for the great things that are going on. Amen? Amen. So let me start off with Mr. Nathaniel Boone. Mr. Nathaniel is our career and college and career pastor. The ministry is called Merge. Pastor Nathaniel is married to Lisa, who manages the media and the sound behind us. And he is the college career pastor. He's got a great testimony. Will you make him feel welcome this morning?
Thank you, Pastor Andrew. Thank you, church. You know, it's a pleasure be able to stand and to be able to minister to our young people. And I'm excited to share what God's done over the past year with our ministry. And Pastor Michael come to Lisa and I, and he asked if we would take this and run with it. And, you know, I'm so glad that I did, because I see so many things. I see so many good things going on and there's more to come. You know, we see them grow not just as a group and as friends, you know, that bond of friendship, but I see them grow spiritually. You know, and that's the ultimate goal right there is, you know, to empower them. You know, when we first started the classes, we asked them to list 5 of their closest friends. We asked them to list what those closest friends brought into the friendship. And we got to analyzing and looking at what they brought into the relationship. You know, we figured out that, you know, sometimes our friends and our inner circle is not what it needs to be. We realize that, you know, sometimes those friends brings about change for us instead of us changing our friends. You know, so many times we think, well, you know, he may not do this or that just right or please God, and I can help him. But, you know, it's so much the more different that they change us. You know, the influence of our friends. You know, I'm talking about relationships here. I'm talking about an ultimate relationship, and I'm talking about a relationship with Christ. We asked that a few of the students, we asked them how that merge has affected them over the last year. And, you know, if you know exactly how they felt about it, what was brought to them. And out of all of them that give us a testimony, they basically all said the same thing. They basically all said that they were so happy to have that relationship, that new Christian friendship, and that they were thankful for a group of people that they could come to, and that they could, a group of their own peers that they could trust, and that they could bond with. You know, it's a support group. You know, there's a few of them that we asked to step up and to lead the class, to teach. And in doing that, you know, that empowers them, that enables them for self-confidence, to build their self-confidence up. You know, we're not just looking for followers here. We're looking for leaders. We're looking for, you know, disciples to disciple leaders for Christ. We had a young lady that come back from college. When she came back, you know, she left all of her friends at, you know, at the college. And when she come back home, you know, she really didn't have anybody to hang with. You know, so she kind of felt like that she was kind of all alone. And she heard about our group, and she started coming. You know, now she's a really important and a real vital part of our group. You know, we had another young lady that Lisa and I, when we would see out in town or, you know, see at her work, her job, she worked as a cashier some, that we worked for a year talking with her when we'd see her and give her words of encouragement and inviting her to merge, you know. And finally she made the move and she came. You know, that young lady now, her life has changed. You know, she said things have straightened out in her life, and she, you know, things have settled down because she's allowing God to work in her life. She's putting God first. And that right there, that tells me right there that God is not dead. That tells me that God's still working. That tells me that God is still in our community. He's still wanting to work through our church and through the people here. I'm glad that, you know, God allows us to sow into their lives. You know, there's nothing that Lisa and I can do within ourselves, but it's God that does it through us, words of encouragement. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it could be just a text. Sometimes it could be just, you know, a little gift here or there. But just, you know, little things that, you know, God allows us the ability to do. You know, if I could look back and I could pick a verse, a theme for our class, you know, I would pick probably Proverbs 27 and verse 17. And it says, iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. And if anybody knows about sharpening a knife or sharpening an axe, you know that, you know, when metal meets metal, it brings forth a friction. It brings forth a heat. And sometimes, you know, that heat, you know, it can warp it, you know, if you push too hard. So, you know, you have to be soft-spoken somewhat, and sometimes I'm a little blunt. But you have to work with these young people, and you have to love them. You know, you can't push them into Christ. You have to love them into Christ. Also, you know, when that metal meets metal, you know, there's little dents and there's dings in that knife blade. And sometimes those shavings, you know, they're going to fall off. And those shavings could be a representation of lying, could be a representation of deceit, lust. You know, it takes a little finesse to get that blade just the way you want it. You know, with God's help, that's what we're working toward with our young people. You know, every one of them, that's our future. That's our future leaders, our future church leaders, our future political leaders. And, you know, it's not that, you know, they're going to be our pillars in the community. We have to put into them all that we can. And I'm sure that all of y'all have seen the political signs out that, you know, let's make America great again. Everybody's seen that, right? But how about we let our families be great again, and we put more into our families, and we put more into our young people, and just take an oath today that we'll just back them up behind, be by their side.
Amen. Let Mr. Nathaniel know that you appreciate him. I think college is one of those transitions in life that there's so much pressure. Come on up, Pastor Mark Knight. There's so much pressure associated, so much transition in that age that it's nice to have a little stability. It's nice to have someone chase after you and give you a place, a safe haven where you can come in and just kind of be and exist and get rooted and grounded in the faith. Amen. Listen, I think we got one of the best youth pastors there is. Pastor Mark Knight does a fantastic job, him and his wife Mandy. Let them know that how much you appreciate them.
I just want it on record that I said at first service, but it is not fair that they make us follow Chloe and Darby. It's already going downhill, guys. But I do want to recall and tell my wife one thing, that she did pray about the unimportance of Grey's Anatomy. Takes up a lot of time. This morning I want to talk to you about some principles that we put down in Fuse Student Ministries. One of them that we teach our young people is the fact that where do they find their identity? Who describes, who tells them their worth and their value? A.W. Tozer said one of the most amazing things is that the most important thing about an individual is your view of God. The most amazing thing, the most important thing about an individual is your view of God. You see, I teach the young people in Fuse that there's two kinds of people in this world. There's those that become victims, the blamers, the excuse makers, the ones that allow things to just come and go, and they're the woe is me. And the second type of people in this world is overcomers. The ones that doesn't make an excuse. The one that becomes resilient. When you go back to the word resilient in the Latin, it means to jump again. It means not to be counted out. That's what we're teaching our young people, is that stuff's going to happen in your life. Things are going to happen that you have no control over. But if you have a foundation underneath the Word of God, then time and time again, He's going to prove He never loses. Hence this testimony in this young lady. She said, as soon as I walked into Fuse, I felt like I wasn't going to fit in, but that since I was 3 years younger than everyone that I would get picked on. And this is what I love. But what I thought was different than what God knew. Had a lot of people come up to me and ask my name and how old I was. My first service to Fuse was incredible. Everything that Pastor Mark talked about, I felt like he was talking about me and right to me. He is such an amazing pastor, and no, I didn't pay her to write that. He loves everyone, and this is when I knew my leaders was doing their job and loving on the kids, because I may not ever be the greatest speaker, but I dare you to outlove me. that could preach itself. He loves everyone not because he has to, but because he wants to. He has taught and showed me who God truly is. A few years, she said, for several years I've dealt with bullying, insecurity, and selfishness. I've been bullied since sixth grade, and it was a constant everyday thing, mostly by the same person. But I knew with God-infused leaders by my side, I was in good hands. I prayed every day about it, and I even prayed for the bullies. Because the power of prayer is not in how I pray, in the words that I pray, but it is in the one who hears my prayer. She said she dealt with insecurity. She said, I see all these girls wearing stuff that I know I can't. And every time I look in the mirror, I see fat. I see ugly. I see dumb. But she says, the more I go to Fused, I realize that I am a perfect in God's eyes. I am beautiful, so now I see beautiful. I am a child of God, and I am smart. And I realize now what it means by saying, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. The next thing we dealt with, she said, was selfishness. My great-grandmother passed away at the beginning of the year. Then in April, my mamma passed away. 2 weeks later, my aunt passed away. I blamed everything on God because right before each of them died, I prayed and prayed and prayed. Then I thought nothing worked. I wanted them back. I asked God, why did you do this? How could he not answer my prayers? But then a perspective started changing. Because when you begin to understand your value and your identity in God, instead of looking at the world, you begin to see things from a different perspective. How could he not answer my prayer? She said, but my God gave her a whole year to make more memories. He gave her more time so that she would have gotten. I'm here to tell you that Fused Student Ministries will change your life forever. We don't care who walks through the doors. We're not a country club. We're God's children, his artwork. God died on the cross for me to live my life and give all to him. Not die because of one little comment that doesn't mean anything. Because I am perfect in his eyes. I will forever be a child of God, and I'm not ashamed to say it. Two scriptures that we use quite often in Fused is Jeremiah 29 and 11. But like so many, I always go a little deeper because in John 3:16, you'll see it plastered on football tonight. And it's a great, great scripture. But then you miss the message if you don't read John 3:17 about God has come not to condemn the world, but to save it. Jeremiah 29 is in the same thing. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. But this is where the rubber meets the road. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. God is a jealous God and wants you consumed with him and him only. And I guarantee you everything else will work itself out if God comes first and foremost in everything you do. But what happens when you put God first is when God comes in and you meet God in a special way. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21 and 22. It says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. And students, I want you to read this and understand this, that God's talking to you. That if you're a child of God in this building, that he has put this in you. Now it is God who makes both of us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed you. God is not dead because he set his seal of ownership on you. God is not dead because he's put his spirit in your heart. And as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. I already know the ending. Students already know the ending. And when you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and you have the experience with him, you'll take into your schools that God's not dead, and you'll be able to show it that God is infinite, but God is also intimate.
Amen. Good job, Pastor Mark. We're moving ahead. At this time, I want to introduce Pastor Eddie Harden. He's our junior high pastor. Eddie and I work together in junior high, and we're excited about all the changes that are going on. We got a huge growth. We've had a dynamic summer, and we got some great things going on for the fall. So without further ado, Pastor Eddie Harden.
you. Let's get one thing straight. Andrew didn't tell the whole truth. Chloe, I taught her how to pray. So you guys can thank me for all that, and I will be taking up an offering. I'm teasing. Today I'm going to be talking about a testimony about a young man that I really had a hard time with. His father was an elder in our church. His mother was a Sunday school teacher. And this kid, his name was Daryl, he could care less about church. He didn't want no part of God, didn't care nothing about God. And, you know, you're looking at the parents, and you're looking at the kid, you're thinking, how does that happen? How do you have this pillar in the church, and then you have this kid who's could care less and hated church and didn't want nothing to do with it? He was in my junior high class, and anything and everything we did was boring, stupid. He didn't like it. It didn't matter what happened. And it was just, church was irrelevant to his life. The things that we did, the things that we said, didn't make any sense to him. He could care less. As far as he was concerned, God was dead. There was no proof of anything for that. He could care less about God or the things of God. And so, you know, I would try to minister to him, try to teach him, try to tell him some things, you know. And eventually it almost got to the point where he was always in so much trouble and had to get on to him so many times. It's almost like, you know, just deal with him and then you can send him to the senior high class. Just get him through this and then, you know how it is. you know what I'm trying to say out there. You speak English. So I would do this. And then one time I got the kids all together, you know, and we went to Winterfest, and, you know, things were going great, things were going good. The next thing you know, I'm dragging him out of the auditorium, building an altar, getting ready to make a sacrifice. And this kid, man, it was all I could do not to choke him out. And it's a good thing he was a lot taller and bigger than me. But I was just praying, Lord, make him Goliath and make me David. And we're going to take care of business. But I would try to do those things and try to minister to him, but it wasn't going anywhere. His mom and dad were great, awesome people. They prayed for him. And so finally he goes on from my class. He goes on to high school and things. And he goes from bad to worse. Things are terrible for him. He's hanging out with the wrong people. Eventually he's with his friends. They're drunk and high and everything. He gets in a car accident. You know, they call the parents and everything. The paramedics told him he's not even going to make it to the hospital. He'll be dead before he ever gets there. He makes it to hospital surgery. He ain't going to make it through surgery. He's not going to make it. Well, you know, of course, the doctors and everybody else, you know, God isn't alive. But, of course, the parents and us, we know that God is not dead. So they pray through, and God delivers him. God heals him and everything. You're thinking, all right. I'm thinking, yeah, now, man, this kid's going to finally give his life to Christ. Mm-mm. Ain't got time for Jesus. It's just a fluke. Just happened, you know, whatever. He's not going to serve the Lord anyways. He care less about Jesus. It's not relevant. He's dead. As far as he's concerned with God, he's not there. He doesn't hear him. And so finally, one day, as he's serving the enemy, serving the devil, you know how it is when you serve him, you realize it's not panning out like you thought it would. Things aren't happening like you were promised. Things didn't turn out like you thought they were. And one day, he was just sitting there and realized that, you know what? It's just not working. It's not happening. He was getting weary serving the enemy. And finally come to himself and realized, you know what? Maybe God's not dead after all. Maybe God's alive after all. So he decides to give his life to Christ, the servant of the Lord. And just out of coincidence, he contacted me about 2 months ago. And let me know that when I was his teacher that I really inspired him and ministered to him. And I'm like, you got the right number? Because all I can remember is, you know, praying, Lord, kill him. Save him and kill him, Lord. Save him and kill him. Mom, Dad, some of you know what I'm talking about out there, don't you? Lord, forgive us all. We're human. But I would thought, you know, there's this is crazy. And he's telling me all these things, and I'm thinking, wow. But once again, I'd realize that it's not me. It's not David who slew Goliath. It was God through David that slew Goliath. It's being available. Mom and Dad, I just want you to know, parents, teachers, and everything, you do make a difference if you speak the Word of God. The Word of God, it's living. It's not dead. He's alive. And what He can do for your life and what He can do through you, which reminds me of a verse of Scripture in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, "And not let us not grow weary in doing good. In due season we will reap if we will not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. In other words, don't grow weary in well-doing. And sometimes we fall prey to that. But understand, mom and dad, let me encourage you. If somebody like this kid, if somebody like me, can give their life to Christ and eventually realize God's not dead, he's alive. So if you was to ask Daryl and bring him up on the stage, he would make it very, very clear today. If you was to ask him, is God dead or is God alive? He would let you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that God is alive and there is hope. Amen? Amen.
Good job, buddy. I love it. I know we're getting ready for our final speaker, Pastor Donnie. Come on down. Yeah, give it up. You got some fans.
I paid them.
All right, sounds good.
It's eternal reward, brother. Hallelujah. God is good, amen? You know, I'm very privileged, Sabrina and I are very privileged to be the children's pastors here at Covenant Community Church, and I don't take that lightly. I thank God that he brought us and placed us here and planted us here because we have had the privilege of seeing God do some great and mighty things over the last 2 years. We've been here 2 years as of August, 1st of August, and that's amazing. I want to talk, first of all, I want to tell a couple testimonies, and I'm going to be very brief. So if you're asleep, wake up. You don't need to take a nap right now. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 7 says, "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I have given to you today. Repeat them again and again to your children." Some translations say teach. This one says talk about them. It says talk about them when you are in your home, when you're on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you're getting up. Now, ain't nowhere in there it says pastor do this. It says you as a parent. My first testimony, though, actually is a grandparent in our church. And I want you to understand something, that I'm absolutely, this grandmother is amazing to me. If you're a grandparent, let me see your hands. Now, God is not dead because of you today. Now, this grandmother has a grandson who is not allowed to come to church with her every Sunday. She gets him about once every other week, and if she's lucky, she gets him then, and sometimes it might be a little bit further, but I want you to understand something about this grandmother's tenacity. It never fails that as children, as parents are lining up to pick up their children from children's church on Sunday mornings, I see this grandmother coming through the line. She doesn't have him back there on that Sunday, but she's standing in line. Do you know why? Because she's waiting to pick up one of the take-home papers. She comes and she picks these up every Sunday faithfully, and she takes them home and she works on them with him, and she teaches him. And it was ironic. It wasn't ironic. It was just a God thing, because this morning, first service, I talked about this as well. And then as in between services, I ran into her. She's in second service today, and she handed me this. She didn't know that I had talked about it first service, and she handed it. This is the homework sheet that she had worked with him. He's not with her today. She says, "Pastor Donnie, pray for me that God works on the parents." See, the parents don't go to church. And the parents, Pastor talked about our mind mapping and our catechism and where she's been working on him. He had studied she had worked with him, and he took his test, and he missed two questions on the test. Did exceptional. Absolutely amazing. And he took home the test and showed his parents because he was so proud. And what they said to him blew my mind, but they said, "Who'd you cheat off of? Did you hear me?" I mean, I'm scratching my head thinking, wow, who'd you cheat off of? And he said, "I didn't cheat off anybody. I did this." He was so proud because he did it himself. He had learned and had studied, and he did it himself. And then they asked him the second question, "Well, how do you know so much about the Bible that we don't know?" Because God's not dead in our grandparents in this church. Somebody shout amen. Because our grandparents have an investment in our children and their grandchildren, and they want to make sure that they're going to heaven. Now, the second testimony, that's amazing. I could stop right there. But our second testimony is a young lady in our church. And there was a young boy in her neighborhood. And she told me, she said, "Pastor Don, this little boy, when we would ride our bikes, he would ride his bike and he would run into us and knock us off our bikes. And he was really mean." And she said, one day I was out back and we were playing on a swing set. She goes, and God just kind of dealt with me about sharing Jesus with him. And so she began to share Jesus with him and tell him about Jesus. And he says, I want to know Jesus. It's that simple. And you know what she did? She led him to the Lord right there on the swing set. And it is simple to lead someone to the Lord. And she did it because every Sunday we do a sinner's prayer with the kids in children's church. And not only we kids are getting saved, but they're learning how to lead their friends to the Lord. And I asked her, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, does he run you over with his bike anymore? She goes, no, he's nice now. He comes over and plays and he wants to know more about Jesus. And I said, wow, that's awesome. And then my last testimony real quickly. And it's about a young man and actually his younger brother that have been coming to church here for quite a while. But our first Sunday here, you could tell that these two boys, they did not want to be in children's church. I mean, the attitude was there. They were like, you know, everybody praise the Lord. It's like, stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. And they're sitting, you know, they didn't want to be here. And they were rude to Miss Sabrina, myself, and some of our volunteers. And I, one of the things I don't like doing is talking to parents after children's church. And I had to talk to Mama that day. And so the next Sunday, I was like, Lord, you know, he walked through the door, they walked through the door, and I was like, yes, they're here, all right. Well, the cool thing about it is I saw God do something amazing in this young man and both these young men's lives. But one Sunday, I gave the altar call, and the Holy Spirit was just moving, and I saw his hand go up. And the next thing you know, I invited him to come to the altar, and he comes forward, and he kneels, and he gives his heart to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm telling you, that's it. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, because that's what it's about. You know, and I've seen a change in this young man's life. I mean, a genuine, I've watched him. Now, I asked him, Sabrina and I sent mentor and talked to him. I asked him if he noticed a change in his life, and he's like, no, but I have, and others have seen it. And sometimes when we look at ourselves, we see the faults in ourselves, don't we? And we saw that we have seen the changes in this young man's life. Well, something happened recently, and I'm not mentioning any names just because actually they're present in the service this morning. I didn't use names in the first service either. But a situation happened that was pretty devastating for this family. And I mean, the enemy was really trying to work and destroy in this family. And so the situation happened. It was bad. And this young man and this young boy and his little brother were sitting out on the front porch with his older brother's fiance. And they were sitting there and they were talking. And he was talking to her. And it was just the things that were going on and bad. And he looked at her and he says, you know what? And I don't know if this is word for word, but I'm going from my memory. He's like, unless you want your life to be better, it's never going to get better unless you have Jesus in your heart. And I was talking to him beforehand about coming up here, and brothers were talking. He's like, they were aggravating each other. And the younger says, I was talking too. I was out there too. And he's like, yeah, but you didn't say anything. He says, no, I was agreeing with you the whole time. And I said, well, that'll work. You know, you're sitting there agreeing, that'll work. So they were talking, and, you know, he told her, he says, if you want your life to be better, you've got to know Jesus. You've got to have Jesus in your life. That's the only thing that's going to make your life better. And so he invited her to come to church. And guess what happened? That next Sunday, they came to church. She came to church. And she came forward and gave her life to Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Let me tell you something. God's not dead because our children, God is in our children, and they're not afraid to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? I meant to do this first. If you're a child in this room, stand up. Stand up, kids, all across the room. Stand up. You see, today was Superhero Day, they're wearing all their superhero stuff, but kids, to me, you are the superheroes. You are the superheroes. When you go into school and you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with your friends, you are the superheroes. Give them a hand. Amen. We've got some great kids. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. Somebody shout amen. Pastor Michael's going to be coming. And kids, if you'll meet me in the back, we're going to get ready and for the prayer. But Pastor Michael's going to be coming and sharing with you guys. But God is so good. Amen.
Amen. Let's give Donnie another hand clap of appreciation, all the great things that are going on there. Listen, if you are in children's church, junior high, senior high, college career, if you're going back to school, I ask right now that you just make your way to the back of the auditorium. They're going to line you up and bring you forward for our anointing service. All right. Now let's give the best pastor I know a hand clap of appreciation for all that you do. Appreciate you, buddy.
You know, the Bible says in Revelations that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What we know in science is that children who can testify about God keep God in their heart long term. And this is one of my favorite things I think that we ever do, and that is pray over all of our students. Am I the only parent that gets concerned about the safety of your children in school? Can I see hands? If it's not bullying, it's some crazy nut somewhere. And I grew up in a Generation X. I never thought about being unsafe in school or being unsafe in a church or anywhere else. But we're living in a different world. You realize that the average child in this church, they're considered the Z generation. These are not millennials. They're Zs. That they were in kindergarten during 9/11, and they have a concept of America that no one else in this building has. But I believe that we can pray over our children and that God can keep them safe and that God will answer our prayer and not only keep them safe, but keep them productive. Amen? We had a wonderful crowd at 9 o'clock this morning, wonderful attendance at 10:45. While they're coming up, I want all of you to meet me at the City Park this Wednesday for a night of worship underneath the stars. Every age group, everyone will be there. If it rains this Wednesday, we're meeting here for services at 7 o'clock. How many of you are ready for the rain to kind of take a rest? Me too. All right, what I want to do when I get them all lined up, kids, I'm going to come by and I'm going to anoint each and every one of you with oil. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. How many of you want the Holy Spirit's power on your life, you know, to be a good disciple and to be a good lover of Jesus Christ? But while they're coming up, I want to remind all your parents to keep telling the story to your children and your grandchildren. You say, well, all we've done is heard testimonies today. I want to tell you something. When you come to church, if you've heard truth, you've been to church. Amen? And every parent, listen to me. The Bible says in Psalms 46, be still and know that I'm God. And that's what we've done today. Just stop and look at fruit. But science says to us that children reject the faith because, and this is Christian Science, at Lifeway and at AIG, that they reject the faith because we've taught this book as stories. And that if we would teach it as historical fact, because it either is or isn't, then you know what? Our children would keep the faith. Now, how many of you want to keep your families in God? Let me see hands. There are 25,000 places that archaeologists have dug up that are in this book. 25,000. There's over 100,000 artifacts in the museums that confirm the people of Scripture. There's not one archaeological find in the history of archaeology that has ever disproven this book to be a lie historically. How many of you know we entrust the Scriptures? Amen? So would you stretch your hands forward? What I'm going to do is anoint them all with oil. And then I'm going to pray a prayer over all of them, okay? So all you young men and women, just kind of close your eyes and ask God to touch you today. Father, I thank you that this, God, is going to be a great school year for all these children. That no weapon formed against them is going to prosper. That, God, they're going to be who you called them to be in Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you, God, in Jesus' name, that God, this is going to be you young men and women. Just lift your hands up and ask God to touch you this year at school. That God, this will be the year, God, of the greatest academic success that they've ever experienced. That you're going to help them, Father, to make good choices and that no harm is going to come nigh their dwelling place. That in Jesus' name, God, you're going to touch these young men and women and that you're going to give them the favor of God on their life. And that, Lord, If we don't do anything else right at Covenant Community Church, help us, Father, to raise exceptional families. Lord, we thank you, God, that in Jesus' name, God, that you're going to bless our children, the fruit of our womb, that you're going to keep them safe, that we will raise up great moms and dads, great single mothers, great single fathers. Father, that you're going to help us, God, to put a hedge against the enemy so that whatever he plans against our children is going to fail. We thank you, God, for their talents. We thank you, God, for their abilities. We thank you, God, for their creativity. We thank you, God, that you're going to touch them and you're going to be with them in a way that we can never hope or imagine. Now, all you young men and women, would you do me a favor? Lift your hands up in the air. All you young men and women. In the Bible, that's a sign of receiving from God. How many of you want to receive from God? So just lift your hands up like Pastor Michael's lifting your hands up. His hands up, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, for their learning. I pray that you help our children to grasp a hold of what they need to know and to learn. I ask you, God, to give them the aptitude for understanding and wisdom. Thank you that they're going to have the minds of Christ and that their memory is going to be blessed. Lord, I pray over their lives that knowledge and understanding is going to come in their lives. And that I ask you to help these children become well-versed in every branch of learning, gifted with knowledge and good common sense. And let them be quick to understand what they're being taught. Lord, I pray, God, for every young man and woman that wisdom and discernment would be in their hearts. I pray that your children will become skillful in all wisdom and discernment and competent to stand and serve in places of leadership and authority. Lord, I pray for their ability, God, that you will help them to have the ability to understand. Give them the ability to increase in intelligence. Give them the ability to increase in knowledge. God, let these children literally combine the mind of Christ with their discipline and be the smartest students in Western Kentucky, God. Lord, I ask that you put a hedge of favor over every young man and every woman. I pray, God, that you just give them the favor like you, Jesus, had with man and with God. And I ask that your children would grow in favor with you and with man. And I thank you, God, that you're going to surround our young men and women with favor everywhere they go. That, God, our college students are going to have favor with resumes and with job opportunities. God, that our high school students are going to have favor with which college they go to. Lord, that our children, God, from first grade, kindergarten, God, all preschool, all the way up to senior high, that, God, you're going to put a hedge of protection, give them favor. Lord, I thank you that you're going to give these young men and women strength. And I pray, God, that our children will realize and understand that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Let our children begin to dream. God, I pray, Father, that every young man and every young woman underneath the sound of my voice would get the strength of God and that they would realize that there's nothing in this world that they cannot be. They can be president, they can be heads of corporations, they can be school teachers, they can be janitors, whatever you want them to be, whatever their heart's desires. God, you will help them to give them the strength to dream dreams. Let the children in our church dream, God. Let them dream dreams of being in academics. Let them dream dreams of being in Broadway. Let them dream dreams of being, God, scientists. Let them dream dreams of being doctors and lawyers and coal miners and factory workers. But God, whatever they dream, I pray, Father, that you help them to dream that dream for your glory. And that they would be the best in their field no matter what they chose and choose to do in life. Lord, I pray for peace over these young men and women. I pray that all of your children will be disciples taught of you and obedient to your will. And that when they put you first in their life, they can expect peace. And I pray, God, that their peace will be undisturbed. I pray that their composure will be great. Lord, I pray manners and I pray, God, a character over these young people. That, Lord, they'll love you and want to live their lives to you to the fullest ability that they have. Lord, now I pray that every young man and woman will have no fear, that there'll be no bullying this year, that, God, you will help these young men and women stick up for each other, that, God, you will touch them and that you'll help our children to realize that you've not given them a spirit of fear, but you've given them a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind in Jesus' name, according to 2 Timothy. Now, I pray a spirit, God, I pray for protection and safety over all of our young men and women. I thank you, God, that our children are going to dwell in the secret places of the Most High. They're going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that you are their refuge, you are their fortress, and you are their God. And in you, they will trust. No evil, no bullying, no fear, God, shall befall them. And neither shall any plague come near their dwelling. You gave your angels charge over them to keep them in all your ways. And they call upon you and you will answer. And you are with them in the time of trouble and you will deliver them. And with long life you will satisfy them. Show them your salvation. Show them the benefits of loving you according to Psalms 91. Now, Father, I pray for all their friendships, all their relationships, that you'll give them loyal friends. Friends of purity, friends of that are pure in heart. Friends that are gracious in speech, friends that are sharp in them, God. Dumb friends make us dumber. I pray, God, you give us the kind of friends that love you and will lead us in the right way. Help these children not to be followers. Help them to be leaders in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray, God, that this will be the greatest school year that they've ever had. That their mother and father will stay together and be committed to marriage. I pray, Father, that in Jesus' name, no matter what the enemy throws at these families, that God, if the enemy comes in seven ways or three ways, he'll leave seven ways. That the power of God, Lord, and the blessings of the Lord and the protection of the Holy Spirit will be upon these children and these children's children and their children's children, God. Lord, I pray for heritage. I pray for that they would love you like they've never loved anyone in their life, God. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Now, here's what I want to do. If you're a school teacher, would you please come and stand right here? And I want to pray over you if you're a school teacher. Let's give our young men and women a big hand clap, all right? Any school teachers, please, anyone that works in education, please come right here and stand right in the front. I want to pray over you. Where's Pastor Andrew? I have these glasses on. Why don't you anoint all the school teachers that are up here in the front? Your school teachers stand right here in the front, please. How many of you appreciate our school teachers? Would you stretch your hands out? All you kids up here, why don't you stretch your hands this way? Why don't you come and find a school teacher to pray over? Can you push in? Come on, push in. Push in so that all these school teachers, we have lots of school teachers in our church. Aren't you glad to see so many school teachers that love Jesus in our public school systems? That's a weak amen. Let's pray over them. Father, the God of love, thank you for every teacher who notices a child's special gift. Thank you for teachers who are listeners and gentle guides. Thank you for teachers who expect much and love enough to demand more. Thank you for the special teacher, each one of them today we remember. To the God of mercy, sustain these teachers who give everything they have and feel abandoned when society expects too much. Strengthen these teachers who assume the blame for so many problems beyond their control. Help exhausted teachers to find rest this morning. To the God of strength, encourage these teachers to care and to inspire into our children and to nourish them. God, motivate these teachers to keep on learning for the fun of it and to make learning fun for our children. God, we wonder at teachers who know how to quiet a class of five-year-olds or help fourth graders, girls, be empathetic. We admire teachers who enjoy middle school writers or teach physics or math or civics. We cannot even imagine how to help every single student achieve adequate yearly progress. Bless these teachers, the people who are expected to accomplish these miracles and who know how to comfort children when miracles don't happen. Let the God of justice touch these teachers and help our nation find a way to steward our vast wealth to support our teachers and their special calling. Wherever they teach and whatever the race or religion, God, in Jesus' name we pray, God, for the wealth of these children. We pray these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Put a hedge of protection around our teachers. Let this be the greatest school year we've ever experienced in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.